Let's go to John chapter number 14. And if you're using the church Bible under your seat there, feel free to grab that Bible under your seat. It's page number 1118, page 1118. And that will take you to John chapter number 14 for our message this morning. Get your handout out and ready. And we're going to be looking at that, of course, also as we look into God's Word. We want you to look into the Bible here at Crossroads. So go to John 14. And that's going to be our passage this morning. Is heaven real? That's a question that many have asked, and it's a fair and it's an honest question. I mean, after all, none of us have seen heaven, so there's a bit of a mystery involved there. About 2 out of every 10 Americans that you talk to, according to statistics, will tell you that they do not believe in heaven. And a person can say that, I don't believe in heaven. And they can say that, but they need to understand their choice to not believe in something doesn't make it go away, and it doesn't make it not a reality just because we don't believe in it. For example, I could say, I don't believe in Disneyland. I believe in Disney World because I've seen it. But I don't believe in Disneyland. I don't believe it exists. Well, the fact that I don't believe in Disneyland in California, that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist just because I say that I don't believe in it. This issue of heaven really cuts right at the heart of the central issue of Jesus Christ. Christ's character and his integrity are at stake here. Why? Because Christ clearly taught that there was a literal place called heaven. He spoke of it as literally as we would talk about Orlando, Florida, Disney World, Miami, Florida, New Smyrna Beach, Edgewater, Port Orange, Holly Hill, Ormond Beach. He spoke of heaven just as literally as we would any of those places. I want you to imagine with me for a moment the days before there was a World Wide Web. And believe me, young people, there were days when there was no World Wide Web. And it was a good life too, believe it or not. It's really a good life, real good. We had a lot of fun. And imagine it's the days before the World Wide Web, before cell phones. Yes, there was a day when there were no cell phones, and it was a good life, amen? But imagine it's before there was even airplanes, all right? And if you wanted to get somewhere across the continent, you had to, take a boat. It'd take you weeks to get there. And imagine I'd been to a place, and I begin to describe this place to you, and it's unlike anything you've ever heard before. And you're like, wow, this place sounds amazing, Pastor Dan. And you know what? I've never seen anything like that. I've never witnessed anything like that. But you know what? I believe in that place, and I believe it exists. Why? Because, Pastor Dan, I believe in you. And I don't believe that you would lie to me, and I don't believe that you would just be dishonest with me. If you say you were there, and you say that it exists, and you're describing this in detail to me, then I do believe in that place. Why? Not because I've seen it, but I believe in it because I believe in you. And when it comes to the issue of heaven, while there are many witnesses in the Bible that have attested to its reality, Jesus Christ himself spoke of heaven over and over and over again. This wasn't a subject that he avoided. This is something he talked a lot about. In fact, I think 140 times it's just recorded that he talks about heaven. If you don't believe in the reality of heaven, then you of necessity must believe that Jesus Christ was a habitual liar or that he was some sort of a religious lunatic. You cannot deny the existence of heaven and at the same time believe that Jesus was even a good man. Some people will be like, well, I think Jesus was a good man. I think he was a prophet. I think he was a good teacher. But I don't believe in heaven. Those two views are incompatible. Either heaven is real, or Jesus intentionally misled people over and over and over again. Over and over again, he just fabricated specific, detailed things about a place that did not really exist. In other words, if I don't believe in heaven, then I must believe that Jesus straight up lied to people over and over and over again. I mean, good night. He even said he was from there. Look in your handout at John 6. It's at the top of your handout there. John 6:38. For I came down. This is Jesus talking. For I came down from heaven. Say that with me. What did he say? For I came down from heaven. Where was Jesus from? Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He's like, yeah, that's my hometown. How many of you, Daytona is your hometown? Daytona Beach area. You're from Daytona. About 3 of you. All right, good. I'm glad Daytona isn't just made up of people from here, or we would have about three people in here this morning. Yeah, most of us are transplants, right? But someone that's from here, born and raised here, lived here for 80 years, they'd be able to tell you a lot more about it than somebody else that's never been here or that's been here a short time. Why? Because you're from here. This is your hometown. Jesus is like, I'm from heaven. That's where I came here from. I'm from heaven. That's my hometown. Jesus Christ did not teach heaven as a vague concept, as a general feeling, as an emotional state. You know, sometimes we kind of do it that we use the word that way. How many of you, you know, you're eating like death by chocolate dessert, and you're like, oh, this is heavenly. Oh, this is heavenly. Jesus didn't use the word that way as some kind of an allegory. Jesus Christ taught that heaven is a definite place. It's not fiction. It's not fairy tale. It's not make-believe. He taught it was a real place. Look at John 14 now, verse number 1. He said, he's talking to his disciples here, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's what? House. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's obviously heaven if you study this out and you look at what Jesus said right before this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What did Jesus teach about heaven? Number one is this. Number one, I want you to write this in your handout. Number one, Jesus taught that heaven is God's house. Heaven is God's house. Now, most people believe in the existence of God. I think over 90% of Americans say they believe in God. So most people out there that you talk to, 9 out of 10 people will tell you that they believe in God. Heaven is said to be God's house, and that means his abiding place. You say, Pastor Dan, I thought God was everywhere. Well, God is everywhere in the sense that God sees and he knows all. There's nothing hid from the eyes or from the mind of God. God knows every thought that you had since you came into the building this morning. God knows every action. He knows everything you did this past week. But there is a place that is said to be uniquely God's home, his center of operations, his command post, if you will. Heaven is said to be the throne room of God. It's the place where God's throne resides. It's his seat of power and authority. And Jesus Christ himself taught this. And I want you to do this for me. I want you to put a bookmarker or put your hand out in John 14 because we're going to go right back. And I want you to go down to the left now. Go to the left about three books to Matthew chapter number 5. If you're using the church Bible, it's page 994. And that'll take you right to Matthew 5, page 994 in the church Bible. Just go back a few books, Matthew chapter 5, and I want you to see some verses here straight from the lips of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, Matthew 5, 16. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now notice, this is what I want to focus on. Glorify your Father, and according to Jesus, where is the Father? Which is in heaven. All right, skip down to verse number 34. But I say unto you, Jesus said, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is what, church? God's throne. What's God's throne, according to Jesus? Heaven. Look down at verse number 45. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in what? Heaven. Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is where, church? In heaven is perfect. Where is the Father, according to Jesus Christ? In heaven. He said, call no man your Father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Heaven is where the most perfect worship of God occurs. And in that sense, it's God's dwelling place. It's his house. Look in your handout at Psalm 33. We used these verses earlier in the song portion of our service. Look at Psalm 33. It's in your handout. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. Notice it says from the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. So heaven is God's habitation. Jesus said that it is his house. Now, let's go to the second thing in your handout. Number two, Jesus taught that heaven is prepared by himself. Heaven is prepared by Jesus Christ. Go back to John 14. I told you to put your bookmarker or something there. Let's go right back to John chapter number 14. All right, let's look at verse 1 and 2 and 3 again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's what? House are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, there's a context to that. There is a context to why Jesus said that. Sometimes we know that passage, but we don't know the context. The context is back in chapter 13. Go back to chapter 13 and look at verse 36, and that'll show you why he said that. Look at verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I go, he said, you cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. So he tells his disciples, stay with me now. He tells his disciples he's going away and they could not follow him right then. Peter says, why? Don't you love it when your kids ask why? I think why is that word is a plot to drive parents insane. What do you think? You know, pick up your toys. Why? Go clean your room. Why? And it doesn't get any better when they're teenagers, does it, parents? That outfit isn't going to work. Go change. Why? All the girls are wearing this. You are not going there. Why? Jesus says, where I'm going, you can't go now. Why? Peter said. Why? Why can't we go there now? So now in chapter 14, you get it? Jesus is now seeking to comfort their hearts because of what he just told them. He's going to comfort their troubled hearts. That's why he starts out, no, wait a minute, don't let your heart be troubled. So where was he going? Where was Jesus going? He said, I'm going to where the Father is. Well, we already know. We already looked at Matthew and all that. The Father's in heaven. So Jesus says, I'm going to heaven. You can't go there now. But then he says to them, in heaven are many mansions. That word mansions isn't what we think of today. We think in the earthly realm, right? Oh, well, that's a big house. That's a mansion. And we think of a mansion as a place, which is typically, it's a place with so many rooms that many people that live in mansions, they don't even walk in half their rooms half the time, right? They don't even walk in them. They don't even go in them. Those rooms just sit there. And the idea of a mansion is an abiding place. In fact, later on in that chapter, that same Greek word for that they translate mansion is translated an abode. So he's saying, in my Father's house, there's plenty of room up there, guys. There's plenty of abiding places. There's plenty of room, lots of room there. Then he assures them that he's going to prepare a place for them. And he says, if there was not any room for you there, I would have told you that. And sure enough, after his resurrection, he leaves them. He leaves them. And he ascends back up to heaven. Look at the verse on the screen. Look at Mark 16:19. It says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into what, church? In heaven, right? And he sat on the right hand of God. So just like he said, he went away. He left them. This happens within days of John 14. He assures them here that he was not forsaking them and going away as though there were only room for himself in his Father's house. No, he assures them there's room for them all. And he was going to see to it that the way was prepared for them to be able to go. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you. In other words, I'm going to work this out to where you guys can be there too. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, you can't go now, but I'm going to work it out where you can come too. The way, this is so important right here. The way that Jesus Christ was going to prepare a place for them, here's how he would do it. He would go to the cross. There he would make a payment for their sins. There he would make a sacrifice for their sins. He would make a complete payment for their sins on the cross. Then he would actually take evidence of his sacrifice to heaven. We're going to read about it in a minute. He would take evidence of his sacrifice to heaven and he would show it to the Father who's in heaven. He would present his finished work for sin to the Father. He would present to the Father proof that the work of redemption had been fully accomplished for sinful mankind. This is where I want you to look at the screen and notice, awesome right here, in Hebrews 9, it says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle," look at this, "not made with hands," that is to say, not of this building. So he says that there's this tabernacle, this temple that Jesus is going to go into that's not made with hands. In other words, it's heavenly. It's a heavenly temple. And then he says, look at this, "neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into that holy place in heaven." He entered into that holy place, not made with hands, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The idea here is that Jesus Christ actually went to heaven. He ascended to heaven and he presented his cross work in heaven as proof that, yes, I've made the payment for sin. You say, well, what does that mean to us? Go to your handout and let's go to the next chapter, Hebrews 10. Look in your handout. Hebrews 10, it means everything to us, the fact that he did that. Look at it with me, Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest." That's a reference to where God's at. The holiest is where God dwells, folks. He's in heaven, the Father which is in heaven. He dwells in the holiest. And it says, "now we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way." He made the way, "which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh. Listen, excuse me if I get a little bit excited, but don't y'all think there's some things we ought to get excited about? I mean, really, as a Christian, shouldn't we get excited? I mean, you know, we can get in front of a TV and go, "woo, yeah, touchdown, woohoo!" Man, can I get excited the fact that Jesus Christ didn't cross a goal line? He entered into heaven with his sacrifice. He sprinkled it on the mercy seat of heaven. And that blood up there speaks to the fact Dan Proctor can be forgiven of my sins. I can have eternal redemption. And I can now have boldness to enter into the very presence of God because of what Jesus did for me. A new and living way. Amen. We can now enter, we can rightfully enter heaven because he made a way. Heaven is a place that's been prepared by Jesus Christ. Please, don't fall prey to some of these notions you hear in songs. When it says, "I go to prepare a place for you," it isn't that he went to heaven and that heaven was just a bunch of bare walls. And that when he finally went up to heaven, that he went, poof, there's a mansion for Dan. Poof, I think I'll put a golden road right there. And poof, I think I'll put a pearly gate right there. And oh, poof, there's a mansion for Denise. And whoop, there's one for Becky Fredman. It wasn't that he went up to heaven and started creating everything in heaven. No, it was already created. When he said, "I go to prepare a place for you," the context is like, guys, I'm going there. You can't go there now because the sacrifice hadn't been made yet. The blood hadn't been sprinkled up there yet on the mercy seat of heaven. He says, "guys, I'm going to make it. I'm going to fix it to where you can go there too." He prepared heaven by making a sacrifice for us on the cross, then entering into the holy place of heaven and obtaining eternal redemption for us so that we could go there too. The blood of Christ on that mercy seat of heaven, it speaks, the Bible says. In Hebrews, it talks about how that blood speaks better things than that of Abel. It speaks and it attests to the fact that the way has been prepared for sinful people to be able, it says in your handout, to be forgiven and to reside in the very presence of God. He has prepared a place for us. You guys are getting more excited than if your football team was winning right now, aren't you, huh? I know you are. You're getting excited. He has prepared a place. And like I said, it wasn't that he went up there and started going, poof, poof, I see bare walls everywhere. Let's see, I think I'll do this. I'll put a mansion there. No. He prepared a place for us by going to the cross. And then taking evidence of that cross work to heaven, to the heavenly temple. And his blood up there speaks to the fact that we can be forgiven. And that we can now be fit to reside in the very presence of God. Whew. Wow. He has prepared a place for us. Which brings me to my last point. Number three. Heaven is a place where people on earth can go. Heaven is a place where people on earth can go. I want you to look at verse number 4 in our handout. In your text. John 14. Look at verse number 4. He says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou." We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus makes it clear that his disciples would be able to join him in heaven. In fact, he would not send others for them, but as those that he dearly valued, he would come for them himself. He would receive them unto himself, that where he was, they would be. Jesus taught that heaven is a real place that people can enter. He talks about entering the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5, Matthew 7. In fact, in Luke 10:20, he even says that heaven has the names of real people written down there. Did you know that? There's like a, what's that called when you have a list of the names? A roster, all right, whatever. I can't think of the word, but a roster. There's a heavenly roster, amen? And the residents and the citizens of heaven are written down on that roster. Whew. Jesus taught that. In Revelation 5:9, the Apostle John is like able to, he's able to peek through like a peephole into heaven. And he's given a glimpse into heaven. And John said he saw people singing and praising Jesus from every language and every nation. But I want to bring this out. Not every person will automatically gain entrance into heaven. Jesus said that some will seek to enter into heaven, and he's going to say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." People don't get to heaven through multiple roads. Now you hear this, and I'm sure you've probably heard it before, that idea that, you know, there's many roads to heaven. And you know what? We're all trying to get to the same place. And there's many roads to heaven. And you know what? We're all going to end up in the same place one day. You've heard that. We're all going to end up in the same place. Well, the problem with that is that it's not true. In your handout, it says there's only one way to heaven. Now, that's according to Jesus, and he's the one that's from there. All right? He said he's from there. I came down from there. That's my hometown. So if anybody ought to know, it's Jesus, how to get into that place. And he said there's one way to heaven. One way. Nobody gets into heaven by chance or by luck. Nobody just gets into heaven by their own self-devised way. Jesus said, "I am going to the Father in heaven. And anybody else who wants to go there is going to have to go through me." Look at verse 6 again. Jesus said unto him, "I am," did he say a way or did he say "I'm the way"? He said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father," what's the last three words? "But by me." Now, sometimes people are like, "Well, that's narrow-minded." And I've heard that. You've heard that. That's narrow-minded thinking, to think that there's only one way to heaven. Well, you know, while in our human nature, we may think, "Well, that's not fair. that God would only make one way into heaven. You know what my attitude is? I am amazed at the grace of God that he made any way for us to get to heaven. He's made a way. You know, that he's even made one way is remarkable. That he would let sinful people live with him forever. That he's made a way there. And the whole concept of there being one way to enter, that's really not an unusual concept at all. That's something we deal with in the real world every day of our life, don't we? I mean, listen, folks, if you're like, you know what? I think that's narrow-minded for Disney World to think that I got to buy a ticket and go through the front gate. Well, try coming up with your own way. See how far you get with that. Well, I think that's narrow-minded the way they told us that we got to go and tour the White House. Well, you know what? Try to get into the White House your own way. I'll come visit you in prison up there. You know, this isn't an unusual concept of there being a right way to enter a place. That's not an unusual concept. It's not narrow at all. Nobody is going to enter heaven on their own terms. Just like you're not going to enter the White House on your own terms. You're not going to enter Disney World on your own terms. Somebody told me after the service, I think it's easier to get into Disney World than the White House. I mean, they said, I think it's harder to get into Disney World than the White House. I don't know about that. I haven't tried to get in, you know, either one the wrong way. There's Pastor Dan. He's in prison. How about that? But, hey, no one's going to get into heaven on their own terms. You got to know Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? When it comes to going to heaven, it's not what you know. It's who you know. It's not a road that leads you to heaven anyway. The way to heaven is not a road. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. You have to trust in him. You have to accept him. Look in your handout, 1 John 5. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's like, listen, what he's basically saying there, it's like if you have a legitimate ticket to Disney World, then you have a legitimate way to enter in. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart and life, you have the way into heaven. The way into heaven is Jesus. You have to have him. And if you have him, you have life. Heaven is mentioned over 140 times just during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. The concept of heaven is mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, but over 140 just by Jesus. Jesus taught that heaven is a wonderful place of rejoicing, of worship, of reward, of treasure. Did you know God's will is always done in heaven? You remember what he told the disciples? He said, I want you to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as what? As it is in heaven. God's will is always done in heaven. Heaven is said to be as real as planet Earth, according to Jesus Christ. I want you to look in your handout, Matthew 28:18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus spoke of one interchangeably. One to Jesus was just as real as the other. To us, the earth is more real than heaven because we see it. We live on it. We're here, you know. To Jesus, he'd been in both. To him, one was just as real as the other. He just says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He just uses them. He told the disciples earlier, he told the 12, he said, whatever you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind in heaven is going to be bound on earth. You know, he spoke of them interchangeably. To Jesus, one was just as real as the other. He knew it because he'd been there. He was from there. The question, though, is this. In your handout, it says, if you died today, are you 100% sure that heaven would be your home? Is that a question that you want to get settled before or after you die? Before you die, because once you die, it's too late. Your choice has been made. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your only hope of heaven? He is the way. If your faith's resting in Him, guess what? You will be there with Him one day. Hey, heaven is real. Remember that song we sung, Bound for Glory? Heaven's real. It's not fiction. It's not fairy tale. He said, I don't know about that. Well, here's the thing. If heaven's not real, then you're forced with this. You have to decide what you're going to do with Jesus then. Then you, of necessity, have to write Him off as a religious lunatic. You cannot believe that He was even a good man and not believe in heaven, because He spoke of it over and over and over and over. He said He was from there. He said it was God's house. It was God's throne room. He'd prepared a place for us through His cross work. He taught, you know, we learned this morning that He taught that people on earth can go there. So you have to decide. But the time to decide is before you die.